think Shane commented recently on the all, in all hail the power of Jesus' name. And he said, if we can find someone that's not included in that, let him know. Well, I don't think we can. Two of those that are named are the chosen seed of Israel's race and ye Gentile sinners ne'er forget. A few thoughts on election this morning. I don't know if election has a negative connotation to you or not, but at the end of of what our chapters in Romans are, Paul didn't write them that way, but 9 through 11, and particularly in relation to 9 and 11, where Paul speaks of election, at the end of that, in 33 to 36, here's what he says, and this is actually in the NIV then, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him, and I'll be saying that several times, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Now, like I said, this is at the end of the discussion on election. And I don't know what emotion you have when you think of election. Is it something like this? Well, or what thoughts you have? That's for people who are in other schools of thought, well, at least in the extreme form. You know, the idea that they would say that God arbitrarily selects some individuals for salvation and rejects others. And, you know, it doesn't mean that. And we just look at other scriptures to prove that it doesn't. Well, I don't understand it to mean that either. However, I guess the thing I'm calling us to this morning is not to focus on what it doesn't mean, but at least a few thoughts on what it does mean. And I don't profess to understand entirely what it does mean. But somehow election, the focus has to be other than on us or them, whoever that is. It somehow has to be on God. Election has to do with at least two things, I think. God calling out a people. It's about him, number one, and about God calling out a people, not about God rejecting a people. Because it says, from him and through him and to him are all things. And so election has to do with God's overall plan, and he understands what he's doing. He has always, he always has, he always will. So if there's certain things I don't fully understand about it, let's remember what it says in Isaiah. For my thoughts, this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And did I get it said? I said election has to do, I think, with two things. It's about him. I think maybe the what I said, several different ways of saying that. But I believe it's about peoples and not about individuals. It's about groups. It's about nations. If you look at these chapters, I think that is what election is about. It's about nations. It's about people. Now, but, you know, as we think about God's thoughts being higher than our thoughts and not understanding everything, I mean, for instance, in chapter 9, I guess it was in last week's lesson where it said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. How do we understand that? How do we understand, well, it talks about Pharaoh, and it says in verse 18 then, while it may not be explicit. It seems like it's implying that when it says, on whom he will, he hardeneth. And it sounds pretty arbitrary, doesn't it? And when it says, Jacob and Esau, neither one, they were born, they weren't even born yet. And it was already set. Well, I think it has to do with the overall plan and with people rather than peoples, nations rather than individuals. you know, about Pharaoh, it seemed like he would choose some and reject others. And yet, God was about calling out a people out of Egypt. And so he sent Moses there to Pharaoh and let my people go. Well, Pharaoh had other ideas. And when Pharaoh hardened his heart, God also hardened his heart. So, you know, election, like if I didn't explicitly say it, at least I implied it, that it could have a negative connotation for us. But again, for me, as I look at these chapters, it helps me to think of nations rather than individuals and God calling out a people to himself. Does it seem negative to you that we read in the Old Testament that the Israelites were God's chosen people? Now, in relation to what it says about Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, actually, did any of you look up where that is a quote from? It's a quote from Malachi. And so it's not quite at the same time that when Rebekah was told there are two nations in your womb. And the elder shall serve the younger. Okay? It's not quite in that same context. It's from Malachi. And he's clearly speaking, it says Edom there. And so he's clearly speaking of nations. Now, I'm not sure to what extent it is saying I hated Esau because of what the nation of Edom did. But it's an after the fact. Although the point that Paul is making about Jacob and Esau is that there is an election, there's a calling out. But you know, it's so easy for us to focus on the one side and not on the other. Let's focus on the fact that God called out for himself a people. And Paul says here in Romans 9, where he's saying, I wish they could be saved. Then he's talking about all that was given to them. And he says, who are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God be blessed forever. Amen. And so whatever else God had in mind when he called out a people, it had to do with his overall plan and for what has been offered to us. Now, let me just quickly read several verses here from Deuteronomy. The one is in chapter 9 and the other is in chapter 7. And, you know, we often say it's not about us, and it isn't about us, it's about him. And so he made clear to them that it's not really about you. Here in chapter 9, he says, in relation to driving out those nations that were in Canaan at that time and bringing in his people to inhabit the land, he says this, speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess his land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord hath doth drive them out before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware. And I'm putting emphasis on that because it goes on and says, I'm doing it because of what I said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the emphasis, again, isn't on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's God's overall plan. It's what God said he was going to do, and he will do it. And so I'm not putting them out because you were so righteous. Okay, he goes on to say, you're a stiff-necked people. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee this good land to possess it, but not for your righteousness. And for chapter 7, a couple of verses there. In 6 through 8, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you are the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, which hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So, I said, as I see it, chapters 9 and 11, not basically about individuals. Certainly individuals are named, but you see it there. The Israelites in 9 verse 4. The Jews and the Gentiles in 9:24. And while I said Jacob and Esau, I don't think it means individuals. It's talking about nations. And so in chapter 11 then, he speaks about Jews and Gentiles. And he ends up in the verse just before I read, where I started reading, where he exploded into this praise, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. He said this, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief. I don't know exactly what all that means, that God hath concluded them in unbelief, but I know that the next verse, the next phrase is for all of us, that he might have mercy upon them all. And so it was about nations, it was about people. God's, in the Old Testament, it was the nation of Israel. But God is still calling a people to himself. Not those who are born into a certain nation, but those who are a people because they've been born again. And so we conclude with 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy. So it is not at all that God is not personally and deeply concerned about individuals, but we are called to be his people. Let's kneel. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of being called yours. And while there's many things about you that we don't understand, we thank you that you're longing to have us answer your call and come to you. Thank you for the election. Thank you for choosing us. And so bless and direct us as we look into your word and bless each part of the service. In the name of Jesus, amen.